So we are on Daf Samaches, and the Gemara is dealing with the issue of the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us that a Naraham Orasa, a young girl from the age of 12 to 12 and a half, who is betrothed, so her Nedarim get knocked out in tandem by Aviha Ubala, her father together with her husband. If she wouldn't be married, it would just be her father. If she would have been married fully as a Nesua, it would have just been her husband. Yep. When she's Narama Orasa, yeah. It's her father and her husband. I want to correct something that of yesterday, Aruch asked, what happens if she's younger than 12? So I had forgotten, there's something called Onas Nedarim. Onas Nedarim means that even before a young girl is 12, from 11 to 12, she can make Nedarim. But earlier than 11, it would be nothing. She doesn't have Da'at. But from 11 to 12, she could make Nedarim. It's something called Mufla Samach La'ish. She's right around the age of being an adult. For the boy, would be 12 years old. And so in regards to Hafla, in regards to verbal expressions, they can make a verbal expression. So in those ages, certainly it would just be the father who knocks it out, so long as she's not married. When she's 12 also, it's only the father who knocks it out. However, once she gets betrothed, it's the father together with the husband. And if the marriage is full, if there's an issuin, then it would be just the husband. I was listening yesterday to the shiur that Rabbi Rosner gave on Daf Yomi, I guess 7 years ago, so he used this...
the OU?
Yeah, it was on the OU website. So he used this Gemara as a springboard to point out generally when a wife gets married, the customs she should follow are the customs of her husband. Because the whole idea of marriage is that the wife is entering the domain of the husband, the authority of the husband. We talk even of terminology of the husband making a kinyan in his wife. So since the wife is entering into the domain of the husband, therefore the wife should be following all of the customs of the husband. So let's say the husband is Ashkenazi, she was Sephardi, so now they should follow Ashkenazi halacha and not Sephardi halacha. But he quoted from Rav Moshe Feinstein that there was an interesting tshuva with an exception to this rule. There was a woman who got married, and her husband did not want her to use a shetel. He only wanted her to wear a hat or a mitpachat. No, this was his stringency. He didn't want her to wear a shetel. So that Rav Moshe said that she doesn't have to listen to him. And if she wants to wear a shetel, she can still wear a shetel. Because Rav Moshe said it's really her mitzvah to cover her hair when she's married. And she's entitled to follow the many, many authorities who allow a woman to wear a shetel and not to follow a stringency that impacts her. But generally, yes, when a wife gets married, she follows the halacha of her husband, and not the halacha she had coming from home.
So why they don't make it mandatory for the rabbis to say it on the kippah, on the kuppah, you know, when they get married, the kuppah, when they get married. This is the law, chuppah.
It is.
No, they should announce it.
It is the law, right? It is the law that the wife follow the husband's.
Between 11 and 12, she should get the mitaralach from the father,
right? That's from the father, right?
Now, does she have a choice of going to a rabbi too? Or the rabbi is not allowed to?
Yeah, she could go to the rabbi.
So, either the father or the rabbi?
Yeah.
Yeah, she could go, okay.
So, actually, the terminology that the father uses and the husband uses is not mutarlach, but rather mufarlach. The rabbi says mutarlach, he unties it.
Right.
But the husband and father, they have the terminology of hafara, they reject it.
Reject, I see. Okay.
Now, like, same thing is with the boy, correct?
12. So now, going back to the Gemara is dealing with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that in a Na'ara Ha'orasa, a young girl who is Arusa, a 12-year-old who's Arusa, her husband together with her father are Matir the Neder. So if one was made for the Neder but not the other, or even worse, if one of them was Makayim the Neder, one of them said the neder should stand, so then the neder cannot be reversed. It doesn't fall apart. So the Gemara said, what's the source for it? What's the pasuk for it? So we saw yesterday that the Gemara suggested the sources were Psukim, Zion, and Ches in Parshas Matos, where the Torah first talks about a father annulling the neder of his daughter. And then it says, "V'im hayoti ela ish," and if she will become married to a man. So it sounds like it's the same person and the same law that exists, namely a young girl and the law that the father annuls the neder. If she then goes on to marry a man, now it has to be the husband too. So we see from there that it's the husband together with the father. However, now the Gemara has another source. Today, Rabbi Yishmael Tana and the yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael, they taught that the source that a husband together with a father is matir the neder is from the very end of Parsha, of the section there in Parshas Matos. The Torah says there, Eila achukim asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. These are the laws that Hashem commanded Moshe. Bein ish li ishto, bein av levito, between a man and his wife, a father and his daughter, bin ureha, when she is in her state of narus, Beis Avia, she's in her father's home. So this is not verse 7 and 8, this is verse 17 in chapter 30 of Bamidbar, where the Torah says both Bein Ish L'Ishto, as well as Bein Av L'Vito. So since it said both Bein Av L'Vito and Bein Ish L'Ishto, It's comparing the situation of Bein Ish L'Ishto between a man and his wife, and Bein Av L'Bito and a man and his daughter. So what's it saying? Mikan, from here we're learning, and as Rashi points out, the Mefarish here points out, the word Ish is not necessary here. It could have just said, this is the law of annulment. Why do you have to say the word Bein Ish L'Ishto? So it's to teach us the following, that when you have Ish and Ishto, it's Mikan L'Naira Morasa. If a girl is a Naira Morasa, as it said, Binurea Beis Avia, She'avia Ubaila, her father, as well as her husband, together, Mefirin Nidareha. They knock out the neder. As the Ran points out, Demashmalei Deminayra Morasa Airi, it's talking about a Naira Morasa, Midichtiva Hukra Benayra Benurea Beisavia. It says at the end of that pasuk that when she's a young lady, she's in her father's home. Omidas Avmach Avla Bito Bahade Ish, because it has the words father to his daughter next to the word husband. Mashma da'av uval mefir nidareha. It sounds like the father together with the husband knock out the neder.
Yeah, but the mother is totally irrelevant.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mother-in-law?
No, the mother-in-law. The mother-in-law is the boss always. No. The mother of the girl.
Ask the Gemara. Ula Tana de Berbi Shmuel. Now, according to this Tana from the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, what does he do with the first pasuk that we learned about yesterday? Im hayotzi ela ish, my avid lay. What does he do with the pasuk im hayotzi ela ish? My answer is mukim la leidach derava. He uses it for a drush that we're going to have later, that it's a drasha of Rabbah fact that it says Hayoti, yeah, Rabba's going to say it's referring to a woman who got married twice. First she got married to one person, then she gets divorced and gets married to somebody else. And Rabba says an amazing chiddush, that just like before the first marriage, the father was able to be made for the nedarim of his daughter, even after the daughter gets divorced and she's before her second marriage, and the nedarim that she makes then, the father alone is able to be mefer.
Rabbi, I think that they, in the pshat, I know the Mfashim saying it, but they say, if Mayoti Elish, after we learn that the smichut of the psukim, benish lishtov and avne beto, now it's clear, in Hayoti Elish, mean when she's going to be with her ish in his house, then just him. I would not learn from here that this ochacha of both of them, because this is more clear in, again, pshat, but I'm not, I respect them for shim. I mean,
okay, but you have the letter vav with the word before the word im, right? According to you, it should have written im hayoti elish. The fact that it said v'im hayo does connect it to what's before. The vav is always the vav achibur.
Rabbi, if she has no father, her father passed away, so what happens now? The mother cannot nullify her...
That's right.
Cannot.
That's right.
So she has to go to Rabbi then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Rabbi, in case of a divorce, since she referred... She referred back under the status of the father of the.
That's what Rabbi's going to say later. I'm not fine. If it was a divorce from Kiddushin.
Mm-hmm. The
acting
father?
Yeah.
Acting father.
Stepfather.
That's what we learned yesterday, too.
Yeah.
Says the Gemara, the Rabba who needs, yesterday it was Rabba who was saying that the source for Nayirma Urasa is V'im Hayoti Eliish. So, Hay Detana Deber Bishmael, my Avidle. So, what does he do with this that we just learned from Tana Deber Bishmael? That Bein Ishli Ishto Bein Avle Vito is what teaches us that it's the father and the husband together. And says the Gemara Miboyele, he uses Bein Ishli Ishto Bein Avle Vito. He needs it, Lomar, to tell us, Shabal Mefer Nedarim Shebeinu Levena, that the nature of the oaths that a husband can annul are only those oaths that affect both of them. In other words, as we've learned back in Ksubos, if she says a neder, she's not going to take a shower, or a neder that she won't have marital relations with him, so things that affect them, then it's what he can annul. That you see that from the pasuk, Bein Ish L'Ishto, that which is between a husband and a wife is what the husband can knock out.
He's not the full husband yet, Rabbi. You're talking about that 6 months period.
Yeah, but that's
okay.
That's already.
But it's still, you know.
It's still things that affect them.
She's Ashek Ish Baruch.
And Rabbi, the nomen of above, is that unique to a woman, or can a father annul the vow of a son?
No, only a daughter.
So, what if she says, I'm not going to get benefit from my husband? Can he then still annul?
Yeah.
Because
it affects them. But that means that they can't then, he can't feed her, he can't sleep with her. But he could annul it.
He can annul something that she's saying. Now
I
guess you're getting
better. Yeah, he can another. Yeah. Iboy, they had a question in the yeshiva. This is a fascinating question. We've been learning till now in this chapter that when there is a Naira Ham Orasa, so it's actually two personalities who both need to do something to remove the neder, the husband and the father. So they had a question. Baal Megiz Gaiz O Miklish Kalish. The husband, what is the nature and truth? It's not only the husband, it's also the father. When you have two people needed to get something done, how does it work? Does it mean that one got 50% of the job on half of it? In other words, he removed half of the neder? Or is it that on the entirety of the object, he removed half of what was there? In other words, as the Gemara is about to explain, Eicha kami bailan. What's our question? The following. Kengon dinadra mitrain zaysen. Let's say a woman who's a Naira Morasa makes a neder. She's not going to have two olives. Right? She makes a neder. These two olives are prohibited to me. The Shama Arus and the betrothed husband heard. The Heferla. He says, no, I reject the neder. Her father, though, has not yet rejected the neder. V'achal tanun, and she eats both of these zaysim, both of these olives. Now, i'amrit megiz gaiz, if we say that the nature of one of the two powers doing their part is that they cut half of the neder, so now on one olive, there's no longer a prohibition. On the other olive, there's a prohibition. We don't know which one is the one that doesn't have the prohibition, but one olive doesn't have the prohibition.
Rabbi,
but she ate both olives, so Lakia, she should get Malkus. However, Iamina Miklish Kalish, but if we say that the nature of the two powers is that the husband annulling means that half of the entire object has been removed, so now he's weakened the neder. And now Isura Ba'almahu, what she did was only a prohibition, but not a prohibition with Malkus. In other words, you have here two personalities, the husband and the father. So how do we understand that? Do we understand that, let's say, when you have two personalities needed to impact a courtyard, that if one would do his piece, he would impact 50% of the space of the courtyard, and the other one, the other 50% still is in 100% status? Or do we say, no, one has impacted all 100% of the area of the courtyard and reduced it down to 50%, and the other one has to reduce that 50% down to the whole, to nothing? In other words, you have two, she had, if there's a large amount of prohibited stuff on her, she prohibited, I don't know, all the water in the house on herself. So all the water in the tank is prohibited to her. So when her husband annuls it, is it that now 50% of the water is permitted and half of the water is prohibited? Or do we say, no, on all of the water there's only 50% of the prohibition that had been there. She had made a prohibition of neder, now there's only half of a neder. Or do we say that the husband has knocked out half of the stuff that the neder is on? It's a very interesting question. When you have a husband and a father, the question would be for the father too, how does it work? Is it that each one impacts half of the items, or is that each one impacts all of the items but half of the prohibition? One knocks away half of the prohibition and the other one knocks away the other half of the prohibition. Did the husband's annulment mean that less stuff are prohibited on her, or that the prohibition is less of a prohibition to her? That the prohibition has been a watered-down prohibition by means of his annulment of the prohibition.
Didn't we cover this yesterday?
No, not this question. We said that they both are needed, but we haven't explained yet how does it work.
Rabbi, I was just wondering, is this hypothetical with the olives? Because how can you annul somebody saying that they don't want to eat the two olives? It doesn't really have any impact on
you. If it would have an impact on you, I don't know. Maybe it's something she needs for her health. He needs it.
Rabbi Neder is Echad, it's Kenat. It's, otherwise, we're going to go here to Masechet Nezikin and start to be in.
No, this is a very interesting question. How does it work?
Yeah, but that's not.
So Tashma, so the Gemara says, come in here from the Braisa. We learned, Emasai Amru, when did they say that Meis HaBaal, if the husband dies, Nisrok Narishus La'av, then his power has been emptied. And now it's been thrown back to the father. Bizman Shaloshama HaBaal Kodem Shayamus. So one case would be, if the husband didn't yet hear of the neder, and he died, so now the neder goes back to the father. O Shishamar, he heard Vishasak, but he was quiet. O Shishama Vehefer, even if he heard and he was Mefer, on that day, Umeis Bobayom, but he died within 24 hours. So he didn't see him change his mind. So we say that the power goes back to the father. Zui Shishaninu, this is what we've learned pretty soon. We're about to get to see it. Mei Sabal, if the husband dies, Nisrokna Rishus La'av. So his power, his authority is emptied, and it goes back to the father. Now it's just the father who annuls. Aval, however, here's where you have the other case. Im Shama, if the husband heard of the neder, and when he heard Kiyim, he validated, and then he dies. Oh, Shashama, or he heard Vishasak, and he was quiet for 24 hours. And after 24 hours, he died. Biyom Shalachrav, Umeis Biyom Shalachrav, he died the next day. So now it's too late. Now in Yachol HaHafer. Now the father cannot annul the vow.
He's not giving me any chidush by saying Yachare Sinar Mashot. You know, even if he's in life, he cannot be Mefir. So what I need him to die, not to be Mefir.
No, that's the point. Even though he died, you might say that now it's all the father's power. The father can't annul. Shama Avia, if the father heard the Hefer La, and he annulled it, or he rejected it. V'lo hispik ba'al l'shmoa. The husband hasn't yet a chance to hear. Ad shemei sa'av, until the father died. Zoi shishaninu, about this case we learned. Mei sa'av, if the father died, lo nisrok narishus labal. Then the power does not go to the husband. Shama ba'ala v'heferla, if the husband heard and rejected, v'lo hispik ha'av l'shmoa, and the father didn't get a chance to hear, ad shamei sabal, until the husband died. Zoi sheshaninu, here we've learned again, mei sabal nisrok narishus la'av. If the husband dies, the power goes back to the father. Shama Baalof, the husband heard the Heferla, and he rejected it. Lo hispikav l'shmoa, and the father didn't get a chance to hear. Ad shemeis, until the father died. Ein habal yachol lahafer. It's still not enough. The husband himself cannot annul. Remember, he's only arus. He's only betrothed. The husband can only annul together with the father. Shama aviha v'hefer la, if her father heard and he rejected it, v'lo hispik habal l'shmoa ad shemeis, and the husband hasn't had a chance to hear, and the husband died. So then we learn it back again, our rule, Chozer Avu Mefer Chelko Shalbal. The husband can annul, I'm sorry, the father can annul the whole thing, even the portion of the husband, because the husband's portion gets emptied to the father once he died. Amar Rabbi Nassan said, Zoe Divri Beis Shammai. This is only the view of Beis Shammai. Beisilul Omen, Beisilul say in this case, Ein Yachol Lahafin. The father cannot annul it. Says the Gemara, maybe this is our question. So Shema Mina, maybe we see from this. According to Beis Shammai, when a husband knocks out a neder, Megiz Gaius, he cut the neder. He cut that part that affected him. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, Miklash Kalish, according to Beis Hillel, he has weakened the entire neder. So since he has weakened the neder, so when the in this last case where the father annulled, but the husband didn't get a chance to do anything until he died, so since it's a weakened neder, so now that it's a weakened neder, there's nothing for him to inherit because it's a weakened neder. So since it's a weakened neder, there's nothing for him to knock out because it became a weakened neder in its entirety. So you see that Shmaimina, according to this, you see that according to Beis Shammai, you only cut the neder. Therefore, since there is a real thing still here, it can be inherited. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, Miklash Kalish, you've weakened it, Shmamina. So this very question of Baal Megas Gaias or Miklash Kalish, we end up in the conclusion saying is an argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel.
She wouldn't get mouth,
violated it, and it was only according to Beis Hillel, correct.
So this case that Rabbi is
with, I'm sorry, the according to Beis. Yeah, according to Beis Hillel, she wouldn't get malchus. That's right.